Here we are, still in the beautiful Eastertide. 50 days, 8 Sundays, 7 weeks. And the surest sign of this special season is our Paschal candle, which continues to burn brightly since being processed into this basilica at the Easter Vigil Mass on the evening of April 4th. Another feature of the Easter season is that all the readings come from the New Testament. Another element is this. Essentially, only 7 New Testament books are read during Eastertide. The 7 are the Gospel of John, the 3 letters of John, the Acts of the Apostles, the 1st letter of St. Peter, and the book of Revelation. Easter reminds us in the biggest way possible that God doesn't always do what we expect. Sometimes he does things in ways that defy human understanding. Raising the dead definitely falls into that category. And that's clearly how the disciples felt when they found the stone rolled away from the empty tomb. They didn't immediately think, "He's risen from the dead." They assumed the opposite, that someone had entered the tomb during the night and stolen the body. Resurrection was the last thing on their minds that first Easter morning. But eventually they believed. It didn't happen suddenly. First, they whispered the truth behind closed doors. And then they began to preach it in the streets. And now, a few weeks after Easter Sunday, Peter and John were on their way to the temple when they met a man, a crippled man, who asked them for money. And Peter replied with these famous words, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk." And the man stood up, completely healed, and began walking and leaping and praising God. And the next day, Peter and John were brought before the Supreme Court of ancient Israel. And the Sanhedrin asked them a very leading question. "By what power or by what name did you do this?" And so Peter stood up and said, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." And so in these 2 verses, Peter says 4 things to the Jewish leaders. Number 1, you crucified Jesus. Number 2, God raised him from the dead. Number 3, his power healed this lame man. And 4, you rejected God's stone of salvation. The image of the rejected stone becoming the cornerstone comes from the ancient quarries, where highly trained stonemasons carefully chose the stones used in construction. The cornerstone was very important because if it were not perfect, the entire building could end up being out of line. And for that reason, the builders inspected many stones, rejecting each one until they found the one that was perfect. Rejected stones might be used in other parts of the building, but they would never become the cornerstone or the capstone, the first and the last stones put into place. Peter is saying that Jesus is the rejected stone, whom God made the cornerstone of salvation. And here is the shock of it all. These men who should have known better didn't recognize him for who he was. They made an appalling mistake that became an eternal catastrophe. To reject Jesus means that you have rejected God's cornerstone. And since the cornerstone is the foundation, anything you build upon any other foundation will itself be wrong. It didn't take long for the early church to make the connection that Jesus is the cornerstone. But the analogy goes beyond that. Some of you who are old enough might remember way back in 1975, a fellow named Gary Dull, who lost his job and came up with an absurd way to make a lot of money fast. He invented the pet rock. It was such a crazy idea that it took the country by storm. The pet rocks were mostly round, smooth river rocks. But that wasn't the thing that made them popular. The key was in packaging them. And so when you bought a pet rock, it came in a box resembling the boxes people used to get when they bought gerbils or turtles at the local pet store. It even had air holes for the rock to breathe and bits of wood shavings to keep it comfortable. Inside the packaging was an instruction pamphlet, which gave feeding instructions. The pamphlet even taught people how to teach their pet rock to obey commands, like stay, or lay down, or play dead. It was a strange fad, because everyone knows that rocks don't do anything. But in today's second reading from 1 Peter, Peter talks about rocks. He first says that Jesus is a living stone. How can a rock be alive? But Peter goes on to assert that not only is Jesus a living stone, he was referred to as the cornerstone, the stone that unites all other stones. And we are called to be living stones. Not inanimate pet rocks, but stones that unite all other stones together to form the building of the Lord, the church. We are not just pet rocks. We are living stones. We have received dignity from the Lord. We have been chosen by God. It is in the recognition of our dignity that Jesus told his disciples and tells us that he was going to prepare a special place for us. Christ said to his apostles, "And do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." And so God has prepared an eternal dwelling place for each one of us. And this is where God wants and wishes every one of us to go. And then Christ lovingly adds, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be." At this point in the discourse, Thomas interrupted him and said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And in answering Thomas's doubt, Christ made one of the most meaningful and descriptive replies concerning himself in all of Scripture. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And yet another very important "I am" statement. And so we do not know what heaven will be like, but we do know what is required of us here on earth. We are to be living stones. Like our Lord, our lives have been intertwined with all those around us. The cornerstone connects the walls of the building. It supports the walls. But we have to be the people who connect others to God. We have to be the people to support others. We are the followers of the one who is the living rock. And as living rocks ourselves, we support and strengthen each other and all others. And so here is the Easter message reduced to one sentence. He was rejected. He rose from the dead, and God made him the cornerstone of salvation.